Okay, welcome to episode 3 of Addiction and Redemption, brought to you by Keenest Coaching. And I got a new microphone here, so I'm getting all pro, and there just might be some editing done for the next episode with some music that I actually wrote in the beginning and the ending. So thanks for bearing with me, and I appreciate the downloads, and I appreciate the feedback I've gotten from some of you people. And if any of you would like to get in touch with me, my email address is dave@davekeenest.com. So that's dave@davekeenast.com. And if I just talk too fast for you, just look at the name in the podcast, and it's dave@firstnamelastname.com. I'll let you figure that one out. Also, my website is davekeenest.com. So if you take inspiration from me as a person in general, and you would like to have a conversation to explore your own magic, to explore what's possible for you on the other side of your challenges or your fears or anything like that, get in touch with me and we'll go for it. So in the first episode, I talked about a little bit about the hero's journey, and then I talked about marijuana. I feel funny calling weed marijuana, but I referred to it as marijuana several times. So marijuana being the gateway drug. And then I got into LSD in the second episode. And this episode is going to be about the introduction of alcohol into my addiction experience. So, you know, when a 16 or a 17-year-old kid takes acid, a lot of times over the course of like 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 months, that kid who's already relatively insecure and doesn't really have the greatest sense of self-esteem turns kind of weird, gets kind of weird, and that's what happened to me. Acid really sort of turned me into a weird dude. I became much more isolated. I was not social when I was dropping acid. I was very reclusive and just kind of going deeper and deeper into myself. And you know, I was kind of starting to avoid people on a real fundamental level. Of course, I saw them at school, but, you know, if I go out on Friday nights, I wouldn't want to run into anybody. I just wanted to kind of ride my bike around with this, you know, my friend Max, who's still one of my best friends to this day. And I had another friend, Andrew, who is integral in all of this, and a few other people. But as that year progressed, like I said, I got weirder and weirder and weirder. And I think that this is kind of where my arrogance was birthed. I don't know if I was arrogant before this, but a really good working definition of arrogance is righteousness mixed with fear. So when you're starting to have these types of experiences, it's really easy to make yourself holier than thou for exposing yourself to the worlds that this agent, this LSD, can provide for you. And there were a few of us. There was this girl, Corey, and this girl, Bree, and like I said, my friend Max and Andrew, and we would take this stuff, and we really thought we were cooler and smarter than everybody else. Now, in a lot of ways, we were, but when you have this underlying fear, this underlying terror of life, this underlying terror of people that's going on beneath that, but beneath the righteousness, what you're left with is arrogance. And as a teenager, what you're left with is this sort of jaded kind of fuck you everybody kind of punk rock sort of an attitude towards everything. And that's kind of the birth of my rebellion. I mean, I was relatively rebellious before. Like when I was a skateboarder, I was kind of rebellious, but it was more of this kind of, it was more in almost an artistic type of a way. Like skateboarders are kind of artistic in how they relate to things. And when I started taking acid, it became much more like, fuck you. Fuck the world. Look at all of this fucking bullshit. Because the veil gets lifted when you take it. And so you've got, there are like a variety of contributing factors going on here. And I'm starting to realize that I've gotten a little bit weird. And my cure for that was to start drinking with the people who were drinking. You know, to start partaking in the high school party experience. And so that's what I did. I just started drinking. And, you know, before I know it, I'm kind of this like stoner, drinker, like acid eating high school senior guy. And I would like to think that I was like the big man on campus. It would be cool if I could relate to myself as that. But I was really just a very insecure, very angry, kind of screwed up sort of a kid. And the more I drank, the more I exhibited that belligerence. And I really quit giving a fuck. I really stopped caring, like, about anything. I mean, I would drive drunk. I would drive drunk and high on acid. I would smoke pot while driving the car, just whatever. And it was senior year and rah, 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 sis, boom, bah. And I had become like one of the like Dazed and Confused stoner kids, like one of those stoner kids from the movie Dazed and Confused. And, you know, I'm starting to take on this stupid bullshit party guy identity, like, you know, stupid catchphrases, like, you know, a day without a buzz is a day that never was, and and that stupid kind of shit, and ditching class and smoking weed at Lake Ellen in our town, and hanging out with the stoners, and the stoners were kind of in rebellion against these other seniors, you know, that we're all kind of friends now, but it was just, looking back on it, it was so stupid. We all should have hung out and had fun together, because all of us, for the most part, are really good people. But the alcohol really started to play a role in my life. And I don't think I became a real alcoholic until quite some time down the road. But it's just like they say, like, alcohol covered up my fear. Alcohol, it made it so that I could talk to girls. Alcohol made me say things that I didn't care about anybody thinking. Alcohol, you know, made me puke. Alcohol made me sleep better. Alcohol, whatever. It started to be a profound influence in my experience. And, you know, I don't think, I'm going to get into heroin here and not too long, but I don't think that alcohol is any worse than heroin. I mean, because they're, believe it or not, there are actually people who dabble in heroin, right? There are people that just get high once in a while, and more power to them. There are people that dabble in pills, and there are people that dabble in alcohol. But when alcohol is used, when its destruction is fully, when its destructive capabilities are fully harnessed, it has a devastating impact on the lives of people who consume it. Now, there's a very specific type of destruction that is caused by alcohol consumption. And there's been a really interesting article that's been circulating on Facebook that talks about something to the effect of a shaman's take on alcohol and what shaman think alcohol is. And what the article says is that the reason alcohol is referred to as spirits is because when the person drinks it, spirits actually come in and inhabit his or her body. And the drunker the person gets, the more that the person's real spirit leaves, and the evil or bad spirits come in. And there are pictures of me from, you know, like, I don't know, it's more like the early 2000s where I'm fucking shit-faced. And there's just this look in my eyes. It's just glassed over. And it's almost as if something evil has come in and taken over my soul, or at least taken over my body. Like the real soul of Dave left and the evil soul came in, and then the evil soul made Dave go around and do all kinds of crazy ass shit. Because the evil spirits don't want the good spirits rising to power. And the more clarity I get on my spiritual, my progress as a spiritual being, the more clarity I get on the fact that it was God above me and it was the devil below me. Now, God is just an energy. The devil is just an energy. But it's almost as if the energy of light, the energy of good, the energy of all that could be was fighting with the energy of darkness, the energy of evil, the energy that opposes that light. They were struggling back and forth for the fate of my soul. And God was the only thing that would save me. And we'll get to that here probably a few episodes down the road, if not quite a few. But it was all being laid. The groundwork was all being laid. The senior spring of my senior year. Because alcohol was a solution. So thanks a lot. We'll cut this episode a little bit short. So again, thanks for listening. My name is Dave Keenest. This is the Addiction and Redemption Podcast. You can email me at dave@davekeenest.com or go to my website, davekeenest.com. And I thank you again for your time. Have a beautiful day.